It's hoped that Prime Minister Tony Abbott's visit to North Asia early next month will be the catalyst for progress on trade across three critical markets, South Korea, China and Japan. The final touches are being put to the free trade deal with South Korea, and the push is on to finally try and get the deal signed with China. And after 7 years of largely stalled negotiations, a long sought after free trade deal with Japan is also on the verge of being finalised. Cathy Van Extel has taken a closer look at what a Japan-Australia free trade agreement is likely to deliver.
The push for a Japan-Australia free trade deal began in 2007, but big ambitions soon turned into stalled talks when it was clear Japan wasn't willing to budge on its agricultural protections and Australia had little to trade off. The FTA was thought to have been sidelined last year when Japan joined the much bigger Trans-Pacific Partnership trade negotiations involving 12 countries, including the US and Australia. Now it looks like a bilateral deal will be struck as early as next week when Trade Minister Andrew Robb visits Japan ahead of the Prime Minister's visit on April the 7th. Nick Bisley is Professor of International Relations at La Trobe University. He says a change of government has given the Japan-Australia FTA a new life.
When the Abbott government came into office, it made very clear that trade was going to be not only a big priority, but that it was going to be prepared to make some concessions that were the sort of things that Japan was going to need if it were going to move.
So what are the areas that Australia is now willing to negotiate?
In a weird way, the essentially end of automobile manufacturing in Australia means that one of the few things Australia could have given but had always been unwilling to give, automobile tariffs, it can now hand over because basically within a few years the whole thing's going to be gone anyway. I think after the agreement that we've signed with Korea, where we've significantly lowered the threshold for the review of inward investment by the Foreign Investment Review Board, I think the Abbott government is going to offer something pretty similar to Japan and possibly even lower. And this will, of course, then have some interesting questions for negotiations with the Chinese, who are very keen to have similar treatment.
Another concession is likely to be an investor-state dispute clause, which would allow Japanese corporations to sue Australian governments for damages over domestic legislation. That's also been included in the South Korea free trade deal. Patricia Ranald, the convener of the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network, believes Australia is preparing the ground for a similar concession demanded by the US in the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
I think the Australian government is really anxious to reach a deal with Japan because the TPP looks increasingly unlikely to finish before the end of this year. I think it would be a mistake to make significant concessions simply to reach a deal, especially on ISDS. We fear that the government may want to include ISDS as a kind of softening for the TPP, and we believe this would be a challenge to democracy and sovereignty.
So what will a Japan-Australia free trade agreement be likely to deliver?
I think rice is completely off the table. Beef, I think we're going to get some wind back on some of the tariffs, but probably nowhere near what beef industry would be after. Dairy, I haven't heard anything concrete, but there are probably going to be some concessions, but not as much as that sector is after. So the bigger political question is the Abbott government going to be content to accept a deal that's on the face of probably pretty suboptimal? And this political signalling so far is yes.
Japan is Australia's biggest and most valuable market for beef. Lockie Hart, the chairman of Meat and Livestock Australia's task force on the Japan-Australia FTA, says the industry's excited a deal's about to be struck.
The beef industry's been asking for a position which this current government was able to successfully achieve with the Korean task force, and that is for tariff elimination across the board, all lines of export beef that we send to the Japanese market. We're seeking for the elimination of tariffs over an extended period of time to enable the necessary reform to occur in the Japanese production industry.
So this would be a phased approach. What would be an acceptable starting point?
Currently, we're paying for every $100 of beef that the Japanese customer buys from Australia, $38.50 impost is applied to that product and taken by the Japanese government. You know, we're not necessarily looking in the short term, we're looking for a long-term outcome. So necessarily over 20 years, it's approximately 38.5% now, so it's just short of 2% drop each year.
Lockie Hart says it's in Japan's interest to open market access.
We have a lot of countries with very strong appetites for Australian beef. So we've got these large markets just across the shore from Japan, in Korea and China, all in the process of either concluding and ratifying a free trade agreement with Australia, or about to commence, in the case of China, a free trade agreement with Australia. So I think our biggest concern with our largest and most valuable market, Japan, that if we don't get significant tariff reduction, that within 5-10 years' time, regretfully, I think Australian beef will probably find its home in other markets apart from Japan.
But trade expert Nick Bisley says while the Japanese Prime Minister wants agricultural reform, it's politically difficult. Professor Bisley believes the deal with Australia is a strategic move by Japan to draw a line in the sand for the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations.
Whatever concessions on agriculture that it's prepared to reach with us is probably what it's going to signal it's going to reach with regard to its other TPP partners. Abe is very keen on and needs agricultural reform, and he's a pretty bold reformer in the Japanese political context. Even he, I think, is wary of going, sort of pressing the nuclear option, which would be, from a Japanese agricultural point of view, a very significant liberalisation of that market.
For Nick Bisley, a trade deal with Japan is part of a bigger domestic and international strategy by the Abbott government.
What they're very much hoping to do is to turn around domestically and say, the ALP sat on agreements with Korea, China and Japan, three of our top four trading partners, and couldn't conclude them. And within 12 months, we've concluded them. Internationally, they are very keen to put trade and the sort of broader economic story, and sort of Australia's open for business story, as the centrepiece of their international engagement. They're hoping to replay the success of the Howard period, where economic engagement was a very successful tool for building good relations across the region. So there's a larger international and domestic political game at work here, and that's why I think we're seeing a government that's prepared to take quite a seriously suboptimal economic agreement and accept it because of these bigger political imperatives.
Not that the government agrees that's what it's doing. They're still saying they're going to get a lot of what they've been after, Australia's been after for the last few years. And the Prime Minister makes that visit to the region, and including visits to South Korea, China and Japan in early April. That's Professor Nick Bisley, an international trade expert from La Trobe University, ending that report from Cathy Van Exel.